WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
Spike Lee likes to call his films joints, as in a Spike Lee joint. But his latest picture might be called a Lee family joint. It was co-written by Lee's sister Joa and brother Sankey, and it's about a Brooklyn family whose father is a struggling jazz musician, like Lee's father, Bill. Film critic Stephen Schiff reviews Crooklyn.
For my money, Spike Lee has always been a second-rate filmmaker living in the body of a first-rate self-promoter. Ever since he emerged with the clever but spotty She's Gotta Have It, Spike has managed to get himself hailed as a master, even though his movie-making and storytelling skills have never got beyond the level of a bright film school student. And Crooklyn is a case in point. It's not that this movie isn't sometimes charming. It is. Spike and his siblings have set their story mostly on a single Brooklyn block in the halcyon early 70s. In those days, kids played stickball and sang on the stoop. A neighborhood drug problem meant that those two sleepy guys across the street, one of them played by Spike Lee, were sniffing glue again. And an outburst of violence was likely to be a yelling match between you and your neighbor over how bad his poodle smelled. Yelling, in fact, is mostly what this movie is about. The Carmichael family lives in a big, beautiful brownstone, and what they do in it is yell at each other. The five kids yell about having to eat black-eyed peas and not getting to watch television. The eldest child, 10-year-old Troy, played by a touching 8-year-old actress named Zelda Harris, yells at her four brothers because they taunt her. Their mother, played by Alfre Woodard, yells at their father because he's a jazz musician who can't seem to bring home a paycheck. And the father, beautifully played by Delroy Lindo, well, he mainly makes mushy speeches like this one to his daughter, Troy.
Troy, your father saw you about last night.
It's not your fault, Daddy.
You know, Daddy doesn't want to fight or yell or scream or holler. All Daddy wants to do is play his music. That's all.
Well, maybe if you played other people's music, Mommy wouldn't scream and yell at you.
I can't do that anymore, Troy. I got to work on my music now.
Well, maybe you should just go for taking her out on a date.
You think so, huh?
I do.
The movie meanders, dips in and out of one vignette after another, and in the end never finds a focus. Lee hasn't invented a story or even an arc of character development to glue the bits and pieces together. In fact, the only glue in this movie, besides the stuff at the bottom of the bag Lee keeps sniffing, is the 70s music, which Lee swirls over everything like so much frosting, obscuring the goings-on underneath. There's a pointless episode in the middle of the film in which Troy takes a summer vacation with her bourgeois relatives in the South, and in order to register the poor girl's sense of dislocation, Spike shoots the whole sequence using a lens that squeezes all the characters like stick figures. This wouldn't be so bad for a shot or two, but the segment is long and complicated, and after a while your eyes start to fume in protest. Shooting it that way is the sort of pretentious distraction that most professional movie makers would have given up after film school. But Spike Lee's fame and power developed so quickly that he never had time to mature as a filmmaker. And he never had anyone around to tell him when what he was doing was juvenile, incoherent, or slack. Watching Crooklyn, you understand why, back in the good old days, for every director who was an 800-pound gorilla, there was always a producer who was a 900-pound gorilla.
Stephen Schiff is critic at large for The New Yorker.